Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I apologize for the little delay in getting kicked off. I was just notified that we might be having problems with our phone system, but I think the phone systems are working. So if you do want to call in, give it a try, 215-867-8255. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that really gives you a constitutional perspective as to what we're dealing with regarding all of this federal tyranny and all of the literal violations to the Constitution. If you're looking for a solution in getting your life back, then this is the show to listen to, because we actually have a process of getting the federal government back into compliance. Because really, folks, it is about complying. You want people to comply to your contracts. If you hired a landscaper and you expected them to perform a very specific job, or you create a sub entity or a contract for a subcontractor, and you hire them to do something, well, then you expect them to do that. Well, our federal government is doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, and they're not doing some things that they should be doing. And so we're going to get into a lot of that and why it is so important. Let me ask you a question. You might actually read the scriptures on a regular basis. You might know somebody that reads scriptures on a regular basis. There's lots of different faiths out there that read scriptures on a regular basis so that they can understand them. But more importantly, and I think this is the big thing, especially for Christians, if you're not reading the scriptures, then how can you tell if all of a sudden the doctrines that you're learning from your preachers or from the churches and so forth, and when you hear people talking about this is the, you know, Christian doctrine, this is Christian doctrine, like socialism is Christian doctrine. If you're not familiar with the scriptures, then you can't retort. You can't actually refute what those people are saying, especially if they're perversions to real Christianity or to your doctrine. And so that's why it is equally important to understand our constitutional founding and our founding documents. You must get this, that if you are not aware of what is in the contract, then how can you have any assurance that your contract is being complied with? There's lots of people that marginalize contracts. I'm telling you, the most important contract that affects your life in so many ways, more so than probably your labor contract, your mortgage, and everything else, is the Constitution. And that is why it is critical that we kind of go through this. And that's why on this show, I actually go through these things. And today we're going to talk a little bit about a change to the contract that maybe never really was. And even more importantly, how we can actually undo, because this change was very bad. And most people have kind of recognized that we were duped, that the progressive era under Wilson's tenure was literally a sham, that we were sold a bill of goods. And so we'll get into that when we delve into this a little further. But before we do, you're probably wondering, hey, what the heck? How can we help G.R. Mobley in Reclaiming the Republic? There's lots of people that ask that question. You may be one of them. We have a crowdfunding set up, and it's on GoFundMe. If you go there, you can contribute as much as you want. And I've got to contact them, because what I want to do is I want to set up opportunities for people to buy copies of my book and so forth. So if you contribute a certain amount, then I will give you a set of my books. So I got to figure out how to do that with them. So we'll see regarding what that is and how to do that. So I believe you can do that. If not, then I apologize. But if you're looking to get a set of books for yourself for Christmas or for somebody that really needs to learn about republicanism and the historical narrative of liberty and all of those things that I cover in my book, then now is the time. Go to MobiusStripPress.com and buy directly from us, because I'll tell you, Amazon takes more than a pound of flesh out of their retailers and out of their people that work with them. But it just seems like people are so dependent on Amazon just because of their dominance in the buying environment. And that's not a good thing, because Amazon is not a good or an honest broker for what I would say those who are pursuing liberty. They're really out to try to stifle liberty. They're out to control the masses. I just don't think they're a good player. They're just like Apple, just like Google, all of these big tech companies, for some reason, they are, I guess I would probably venture to say that they are those of the subjugation side that, you know, they just believe that the ends justify the means. And so they will do whatever possible to silence your speech and to literally control you. That's why you'll find that these companies are also connected into the deep state. And I've talked about this before, but I'm not going to go into that today. But if you want to contribute, and maybe you don't have the financial means to be able to contribute, and so people go, well, how else can I help? Well, one of the other ways you can help is if you've got a computer, you've got a phone, just send me an email and you can become a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem, because I can show you how to do some research. It's really not hard. If you're a spreadsheet commando, if not, I can teach you how to. It doesn't take much time. And then once you start, doing some research, you will actually help us, work a lot more efficiently. And so there's lots of states out there that still need to be done. Maybe yours is one of them. Let us know. Or if you've got a phone, you've got a good voice, you're a persuasive talker, we might be able to use you there too. So just reach out, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Another way you can really help, and so this particular show today, I'm going to be talking about the 17th Amendment and the Constitution Club. I've talked about this every show, that they're probably, not probably, I'm going to be talking to Keith Broders about this, but they are going to execute a plan in January to actually start educating and reaching out to the state legislators so that they can actually do the due diligence and start going down the path of rescinding the 17th Amendment. We can do this faster than anything else. If you want to make Washington's head spin and probably drain a little bit of that swamp, not all of it, but probably half of it, because we could reclaim the Senate this way. And in doing so, the Senate no longer would then be, bought and sold by the globalists and the highest bidder. They will be controlled by the states once again and literally restore American republicanism. I'll get into that as well a little bit later. So if you want to help, another way you can help is just go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com and join. And I know that when you go there, you're going to be kind of overwhelmed. There's a lot of stuff there. It's maybe not the most simplest site when you hit, but I'm telling you, you can drill down into your state. It takes a little, may take a little bit of looking, but you can get into your state and county and you can actually start working at a very local level with this site. So go check it out, go join and become a part of the solution, because when they start providing you templates, they're actually going to send you emails of templates that you can send and going to give you the email addresses that you need to send these things to. This will actually start resonating when all of a sudden, because I believe there's 4,000 members, so hopefully we'll get all the members, or hopefully we'll have 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 members by the end of the year. And that's a lot of emails. I'm telling you, if you've gotten 100 emails in a day, just try to imagine 7,000 emails coming in over the course of a week or so, all coming from these members of the Constitution Club. That would be kind of overwhelming. And it would really start resonating with these people to going, what the heck are they talking about rescinding? What is this? And so this is a huge opportunity that we can actually put some shockwaves in D.C. Do you understand this? This is true activism. Activism without even having to pick up a sign and go stand in the rain, or, you know, have to spend your own money to go into D.C. to be a part of a walk or to be a part of some gathering that actually does nothing. You can actually send emails that will actually do something. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. As I've said, I've definitely got a little bit to go through still. So if you just give me a little patience, as you know, I always have to tell you that I did scan the news. And I'm always looking for an opportunity, an opening. Is the federal government really going to unleash and relinquish any of their tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers? Well, I didn't see that sign today. And I'm telling you, it is contrary to the operations of government. Government never gets smaller. They never relinquish any of their powers. So if you think that they're going to, I can hope and I can look every day. And I'm going to, and I'm going to tell you every day probably that there's no sign of this. But I believe that when the more powerful governments, the state governments, actually start stepping up, then I believe the day will be coming soon when I'll be able to tell you, well, looks like Congress is going to be issuing some resolutions to getting rid of these following departments. And that will be good news, my friends, because as they start disbanding departments, they stop spending so much money, and that means that their debt will go down, and soon our taxes will go down because it is a rippling effect. With that, I'm at a hard break, so please stay tuned. I will be right back after this, and we're going to dive into the 17th Amendment. Thank you so much.
Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so the dialogue today is literally going to be centered around the 17th Amendment. I will also tell you that something you can look forward to, the week of the 17th, I am going to barrage you with a lot of interviews. I'm going to have Mitchell Nicholas Gerber on. I'm going to have Aaron Tilbury on. I'm going to have Keith Broders on. I'm going to have Mark Erbach on. And I'm trying to line up a couple more people. I don't know if I can put enough people in that week, but I'm going to try to pack it because all of these folks have some very supportive information to some of these things we're talking about, the 17th Amendment, as well as all of the things that are going on in China and how this is trickling out into our society. It is an insidious world that they live in, and they literally want to infect all of us with communism. Aaron Tilbury, literally fighting slavery, Keith Broders, fighting for the Constitution, and Mark Erbach, the same. He's fighting for the Constitution. So I think you're going to find these very enlightening, and I think that you want to make sure that you do not miss that week, the week of the 17th to the 21st. So with that, as I've told you before, I know that it's just been dominating the news, is what's going on with President Bush, the funeral, and all of this. And I'm absolutely amazed at how many people. Now, I understand showing respect and everything else, but I want you to look and keep in mind how many Americans are actually out spending time waiting for a train to go by. My friends, that takes effort. You have to, you know, get dressed. You got to get in your car. You got to drive to a point where you're going to be, you know, right there by the train as it goes by and wave your final respects or what have you. The time that that takes, the effort that that takes. It just saddens me to understand that people will pay the respects for a passing president, but they won't give the respect to a nation in trouble. We're in a constitutional crisis. We're living under such federal tyranny. Over 80% of what the federal government is doing is unconstitutional. If you do not believe what I am telling you, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go to the Take Action page. Watch that little video that I have. There's a link to my YouTube video on Reclaiming the Republic. Just watch the first 30 minutes of that video. I will academically prove to you that over 80% of what the federal government is doing is unconstitutional. So wouldn't it be worth your time to stand up, especially if there's an easy way and an effective process in getting compliance? Go look at that debt clock. Tell me that thing ticking out of control is a good sign. Wouldn't it be good to actually see that going in the other way, to where we're paying debt off and actually watch that thing go to zero? Because we could actually live to see that day, my friends. We could do that. It's just about getting control and gaining compliance. There's that word again. Compliance to the Constitution is critical. If the federal government complies to the Constitution, then we don't have debt. We don't have all of these problems. And if we actually get them to function the way they're supposed to, like we don't go fight wars without actually a declaration of war. We don't do things that aren't enumerated in that Constitution, giving away our wealth to other nations, corporations, and indolent people that could be easily supporting and self-sustaining themselves. Well, why not keep their hands out? Because as long as the government's going to keep on trickling out our wealth and throw away our liberties, then they're going to continue to do that. But if we had the kind of manpower that is being spent over this past few days, over the passing of a president, in just trying to save the Constitution, wow. I mean, that is more than I can ask. I only dream of just a fraction of that, and I know with just a fraction of that effort, we could easily do this. That is how powerful, and that is how convicted I am in knowing that we could actually do this. And that's why I ask you to go watch that video. And then when you're done, go back to the homepage on reclaimingtherepublic.org and read the bullet arguments. Look at the process. You can actually have a look behind the curtain as to what Republic Review is. There's no doubt in my mind, when you recognize this process, you will say, this will actually work. Then it's worth a little bit of your time, worth a little bit of effort. That's all it takes, is just a little effort, and we could win. literally. We don't have to have an overwhelming amount and consuming all of your time and that type of thing. We could do this with very little effort. Now, so I'm going to give my tribute to the past president, President George H.W. Bush, in January sometime. I want to make sure that I provide the due respect for the passing of the president and those who are mourning. Because, look, there's a lot of people out there mourning. Now, with the regards to what I was talking about yesterday on the USMCA, which is this new trade agreement, I spoke to Thumper, that's his code name, over at the Patriot Soapbox, and he's going to be looking for the actual document. I'm going to start scouring for that document of what is the language to this agreement so that we can actually drill into this, and we're going to have a conversation. We'll do a conversation on his soapbox, and we'll probably bring him on here so that we can have this conversation regarding, you know, is this a good deal or is this really as bad as it sounds? And so we're going to get to the bottom of this, but at this point in time, I would start, you know, dialing up your senator, and I would start hitting them up and saying, you better not ratify this deal. Based on everything else, it's better to not have a deal pass than to have it pass questionably and then have it unleash and actually destroy everything that we have. Because you do understand that a ratified treaty becomes constitutional law unless it has actually been discovered that there are, you know, real violations to, you know, the treaty, the passing, or so forth. And so we don't want to have to go down that path. The only way to undo something like that would literally be, you know, just stripping out the entire government. And it's just a big mess. What we want to do is we just want to get the Constitution back into enforcement and the federal government back into check. And one of the best ways to do that is getting into the 17th Amendment and having it rescinded. So before I actually get into this process of recension and rescinding the 17th Amendment, let me give you a little high-level view of what republicanism is and why it's so important, because it is within the Constitution that we have a form of representation. And during the Constitutional Convention, it was Roger Sherman who came up with the idea, and he actually acknowledged, and everybody else recognized his epiphany was spot on, that the states were sovereign. You know, everybody understands that we the people are the ultimate sovereigns. There's no doubt about that. But we the people, as we create a form of government, whether that be the form of government in Connecticut, New Hampshire, whatever, those states, we delegate a body of powers or we delegate specific powers to these folks to govern us, which means that they're sovereign over those powers delegated. If you look at the powers delegated to the states, they have a little bit more power, a lot more power than the federal government. And so we're kind of, what I'm going to tell you is we're literally looking at an institution, the states, that actually are sovereigns over a lot of things in our lives. And so it's really important. And that's why Roger Sherman, absolutely identified the spot on to say these folks need representation in this government, because the national government will be doing things that will affect the states. And in doing so, they will literally be able to have representation by giving them an equal representation. So when they created this beast of the federal government, one of the things that they did was they identified two different sovereigns: the sovereigns of the people, which is the House of Representatives, and the sovereigns of the states, which is the Senate. And so that's why they created a bicameral legislative body. This was such an earth-breaking and groundbreaking thing. This was literally a moment that shook the earth. And so I'm telling you that what ended up coming out of that Constitutional Convention literally paved a way that forced changes into every state in the union that moving forward, because many of the states at that point in time, it was like half of the states in the 13 original states had unicameral legislative bodies. They all reorganized and they utilized the counties in the form of states within the states. So the counties were considered a sub-element of government, just like the states were. And the counties were given representation in the Senate, and the people were given representation of the House. The House is for the people, and the Senate is for the counties. And in the national government, the Senate is for the states. More importantly, we're going to get into the fact that the states actually have a guaranteed representation of the people, even if they did not have enough apportionment for even one. And so we'll be right back. I got to get into this history so that we can understand the importance of the 17th Amendment. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so the importance of this, the makeup of our representation, was centered around the two identified sovereigns within our sphere of government. We being a government of the people, but we also being a government of delegating powers. And so if there is a sub-element of government within that sphere of the national level, then that sub-element of government was the states. And so republicanism, as defined in this new American experiment, was literally representation of the two identified sovereigns, the sovereigns of the people and the sovereignty of the states. And so that rolled out into every state and every county. And so the counties were supposed to have representation. Now, the people were also guaranteed representation. In other words, Wyoming, even though they don't have anything close to the 700 and some odd thousand people that is required for an apportionment of one representative, in the Constitution guarantees each state a minimum of representation of one person. So what that means is that you can't gerrymander states into saying, just like what they do today in states, with the representation in the counties, they start joining counties together and saying, you five counties have to share your representation amongst all of you because you don't have enough people. What that does is that creates tyranny by the majority, or allowing the population centers to dominate government. That was the antithesis of what the framers were trying to do. They were always looking and making sure that the minority had checks, balances, and protection. And the fact is that there are all sorts of problems with the way the state governments have set up. But that is a different show and a different problem. The point is that it was very important that the states had representation. So when they started pushing in the progressive era to pass this thing called the 17th Amendment, they were literally taking away representation from the state representatives. I love talking to the state legislatures now, and I always poke them and say, hey, when's the last time you guys set your priorities for your senators? They're supposed to be representing you guys, right? Well, because that didn't change. The only thing that changed by the 17th Amendment was the fact that the 17th Amendment just changed that it was being elected, that, the senators would be identified or be appointed via a general election instead of being appointed by the state legislatures. But their focus and their center was supposed to still be on the state legislators. And every single state legislator looks at me with this anger in their eyes and say, yeah, right, like we could get time of day from them. There's very few good senators, and all of them are bought and sold for by globalists today. Because if you look at the past election, the millions of dollars that poured into all of these globalist senators, and there's a few that actually were unseated, which is very surprising. But you still have to look at where that money's coming from. And that money is typically coming from large corporations trying to buy access. And that is that's the antithesis of what the framers wanted. They wanted the Senate to represent the interests of the state. That's why they have the very specific powers that they have. So anyway, moving forward, as the progressive era said, okay, we want to get the 17th Amendment, they actually put it out there for ratification. There's a guy by the name of Bill Benson, and I don't know why I keep on, confusing his name with Bill Bennett. But Bill Benson, and I remember writing about this in articles, books, and so forth, that Bill Benson's research was really impeccable. This guy went out and dug around in the archives in California, D.C., and so forth. And he actually proved that the 17th Amendment wasn't properly ratified. And the 17th Amendment, as he says, was never properly ratified. I have seen the proof with my own eyes at the National Archives from the documents obtained by himself from all the 48 state legislators in his work. Proof the 17th Amendment was not properly ratified. And as a matter of fact, he goes on and says he also collected court-certified documents on this from the bowels of the California State Archives. They are inconvertible, you can't prove these things wrong. They're irrefutable is a better word. I don't know why he used incontrovertible. And prove without a question that the Secretary of State, William Jennings Bryan, on May 31st, 1913, knowingly and willfully issued a memo declaring the 17th Amendment ratified, even though he knew that the required number of states did not ratify it. And so if you look at the Republic review process, this is actually going to, because one of the things that the states have to do is they actually have to validate everything that had been ratified. Had it been properly ratified, and was the process followed constitutionally? I'll give you a good example, because I think it was Kevin Gutzman or Tom Woods that pointed out that the state of Oregon, when they were ratifying an amendment, I think it was either the 16th or the 17th Amendment, the people knew, because the 17th Amendment had just come out, and they said, well, they didn't get a chance to convene a ratification of it. And so the voters actually voted out the progressives and put a majority of the conservatives in so that they would not ratify the 17th Amendment. And so when they actually rejoined and when they started the new session, they refused the Oregon state government. I don't know if it was the Secretary of State, the governor, or whomever. They had this cabal that says, we're not going to actually seat those people until we ratify this amendment, and then we will swear them in and allow them to sit. So in other words, these people who were constitutionally removed from office were allowed to stay in office beyond their tenure and actually voted in ratifying the 17th Amendment. This happened in the state of Oregon. And this is huge. When things, shenanigans like that occur, then you have to go, okay, so what else is going on? And I've told you this, and I've told you, and I've told you, and I hate to, you know, sound like I'm right, because I know there's plenty of these, you know, conservative hosts that love to pound their chest. But the fact of the matter is, and this is empirical data, when it comes down to the progressives, when it comes down to those who align on the scale of liberty of subjugation, these guys want to enslave us. It's not about liberty. They don't care if you have your free will. They know better, and they will inflict you with their noble mentality of saying, we know this is better for you, so take your medicine and go away, or we will make you go away. They really don't care if they have to kill you or put you down. They don't. The ends justify their means because they're going to create a better society. They know this. And so that is how despicable, that is how evil these folks are. And so that's why they do whatever they believe is necessary. And that's why you'll constantly see them actually violating the laws. That's why you'll actually see them actually doing things to hurt people. So that being said, with Benson's proof, and I think it's pretty good and or irrefutable, the problem also comes out in the language of the 17th Amendment. I ask you go read the 17th Amendment. The 17th Amendment only changes what it, the appointment process. It does not change one critical thing, and that one critical thing is in Article 5 of the Constitution. And in Article 5, it basically states this, that, you know, here's the process. It identifies the process of amending a Constitution and what you have to do to amend the Constitution. And then it says, provided that no amendment which shall be made, and then dot, 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 without and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So there were two amendment protections. The first one was protecting the shutting down of the slave trade, and then that was the dot, dot, dot. And then the second amendment that the states were protected from was to ensure that they could not be deprived of their equal suffrage in the Senate. So what is suffrage? Suffrage means your ability to vote for your representation, your ability to have your representation and your vote heard. And so the states, this was very specific. They were talking not about the states and the people of the states. They were talking about the sovereignty of the states, the state legislators and their representation and their equal suffrage in the Senate. So those state legislators could not be denied their equal suffrage if they did not give consent, because that's the word right there. And that no state without its consent, that's the key part right there, they have to consent to this, shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So that language, and if you go read the 17th Amendment, because I just don't have time, everything's flying by and I'm going into another hard break right now and I got to finish this when we come back. So if you go read the 17th Amendment on your own, you'll actually see that it does not cover this amendment protection clause in Article 5. So what happens is it creates a conflict in the Constitution. Who is best served? And so when it comes down to the minority, we have to go and defer to protecting those of the minority. With this hard break, we'll be right back. And I'm going to close on this whole thing, so we'll be right back.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
And so the problem with the language of the 17th Amendment is it did not account for Article 5. So it created this conflict, as I just said, going off the air. The states actually have a fulcrum with leverage because Article 5 clearly protects them that they cannot be deprived their suffrage in the Senate, so that their equal suffrage, so that they can actually still maintain appointments instead of going through the voting and general election, because it has been proven that the states have lost their suffrage in the Senate by going to the general elections because the senators do not respond, they do not report, and they do not support their state legislators who they are supposed to be the advocates for. They've become the advocates for the globalists. They've become the advocates for big government. And so even Republicans are in that. This also lends to the whole concept of how the Bill of Rights debate over where the amendments, you know, and how they were to be inserted into the Constitution, which was a huge debate between Sherman, the same Roger Sherman and James Madison, as they were fought back and forth. Madison wanted the amendments to actually be inserted if they belonged within the Constitution. And if not, then, you know, you can stack them at the end if there's something completely new. The most important part of that was that it would actually lay, you know, there's a lot of confusion when you actually have the amendment outside the body. So the intent was to insert the language into the body to make sure that it addressed all of the issues, that there would be no confusion. And so they didn't do that because they didn't have computers. Sherman said it was too hard to do, but in these days it's no big deal at all. And more importantly, it would have forced the acknowledgement. And I honestly believe that this happens to be the divine hand of providence. I believe that the 17th Amendment, and as Madison very precisely pointed out, that this would create a constitutional problem. It has. And what it has done is it has created a pathway of rescinding the 17th Amendment. But this is not something that was intended in the amendment itself. Now, let's just be sure here that there were 48 states at the time, which meant the 38 states, just like today, were required to actually ratify. They claimed to have ratified the 17th Amendment, with 38 states. Now, when Benson started coming out with all of this information, some of the states who were progressive decided, you know, and I remember there was two states. One of the states was Maryland and the other state was Rhode Island. Those two states did not ratify. So they went ahead and ratified in 2012 and 2015. But the real problem happened in 2010 because Delaware, who had already rejected the 17th Amendment, they decided in 2010 that because they were really progressive in nature now, that made them look bad. And so they formally rescinded their rejection of the 17th Amendment, and they actually ratified and formally sent their ratification in. They did this, I believe, because there was a good possibility, it was starting to bubble up, that we could challenge the 17th Amendment and actually have it not repealed, but removed from unconstitutional ratification. So as Delaware tried to step up and do the noble thing, it caused a real unpredicted problem, or the unforeseen consequence. And again, so this is where the divine hand of providence really came in from Delaware, wanting to correct the fact that Delaware wanted to correct this progressive state and rescind their rejection. Again, the language in the 17th Amendment. So when you go out and read the 17th Amendment, you'll also notice that it doesn't have any sunset clause. It doesn't have anything about, well, you can change your mind or you can't change your mind. It just basically identifies what the process is, and that was it. And so in the language itself, the real problem by Delaware wanting to do this noble thing was nice. And had they just done it for the record, that would have been fine on their own. But they sent it into the federal government, and the federal government acknowledged the change because they were afraid that if somebody said, hey, this state really didn't constitutionally ratify, then somebody could say, oh, well, Delaware over here changed their ratification and they've accepted this. Well, when you do that, you have to let the door swing both ways. And so by opening up the gates here and changing their position, Delaware specifically, when they changed their position formally and the federal government acknowledged that, and I hope you're following this, when the federal government acknowledged and recorded that Delaware had ratified the 17th Amendment in, and what was the date again? I've got it right here. And that happened to be on July 1st, 2010. And so when they actually ratified that, and that was forwarded for record for the federal government, that means that every state that ratified or rejected could rescind their position and change. So before I move into the states that can actually change, I want to tell you that there were seven states still standing today. There are seven states still standing that have not ratified. That's Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, and Utah. So the emails are going out. The emails will be heading out from the Constitution Club. And if you want to be a part of it, they're going to be sending emails to these seven states, the state legislators, to say, why are you complying to the 17th Amendment when you do not have to, when Article 5 of the Constitution protects your suffrage in the Senate? So those seven states will be hit with appeals from the Constitution Club saying, please stop complying. You are not accountable for that. That the Article 5 had protected you from losing your representation without your consent. And so this next one And so if you count these, I'll have to count them out for you. So it's Arizona, Kansas, North Carolina, Iowa, Idaho, West Virginia, Texas, Wyoming, Arkansas, Maine, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Ohio, Missouri, Nebraska, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Montana, and Indiana. That right there, my friends, is 20 more states. Those are red states that I believe they've all expressed some approbation and some frustration with the fact that they have zero representation in the Senate. Well, now, what would just imagine this. If you're a part of the Constitution Club and you actually, you know, partake in these emails going out to all of these, you know, seven states that I just said, and now these 20 states that I just listed here, now you're sending emails out to 20 states to say, did you know that you can rescind your ratification of the 17th Amendment and actually formally reject? That door was opened July 1st, 2010 by Delaware. And so if you're starting to get your mind on this and you start focusing what this would do, this would literally send shockwaves throughout D.C. I don't think that the progressive agenda would be, you know, really pounding on all cylinders if all of a sudden they start catching wind that the states are pulling out and rescinding the 17th Amendment, whether they like it or not. And really, if you understand, 20 plus 7, that means 27 states have actually stepped up and said, we're done with this. We're unratifying and we're rescinding this thing. Because thank you, federal government, and thank you, Delaware, for opening the door. Had they not been noble and had they not gone through the noble gesture of trying to protect the 17th Amendment from being possibly questioned and actually undone because of the unconstitutionality, because of possibly California not ratifying and a couple of other states possibly not. This literally, and that's why Maryland, another, that's why there were three states that all of a sudden in the 2000s, it was what, 2010, 2012, which was Maryland, and in 2015, it was Rhode Island. Do you think it's a coincidence that those three states all of a sudden decided to ratify? The kicker, my friends, is Delaware. Delaware rejected, and they had to rescind their official position. And in doing so, they literally, because the other states, you know, it could have been Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, but those were too conservative. These other states were actually progressive. And they go, you know what, if we don't do this, this could be undone. And our globalist agenda could actually just be, you know, knocked out of our hands so close to the goal line. My friends, let's finish the job. Join the Constitution Club and get with Keith Broders and these templates. He's going to be providing you these emails and these email lists so that you can literally send out an email a day. And over the first month of January or going into February, the state legislators in these 27 states will be overwhelmed. Let them actually recognize that they can take back a good part of our republicanism. And in doing so, this will literally be the tip of the spear that will allow Republic Review to actually start forming under all of this wake and all of these calamities. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. So please do what you can, and I'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.